welcome to Unstuck, the podcast for solo business owners who want things to feel better. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, and your honest voice of reason when business starts to feel a bit messy. Each week, I help you get unstuck from whatever's holding you back, whether that's overwhelm, overthinking, or offers that just don't quite work, so you can build a business that actually works for you. Here's this week's episode. Does what you wear and how old you look really matter in your business? That's the question that I'm asking today with a guest. Very unusual for the Unstuck podcast, but Nikki Hambleton-Jones is with me today, with you today, and very, very delighted to have you here with us, Nikki. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Libby. It's great to be here.
Yeah. We were just before we started recording, I was just saying that I was, I used to be an avid watcher of 10 Years Younger. When was that on? Am I aging myself already, you see, by just...
Well, you probably watched it, I don't know how old you were, but it's almost 20 years ago now. I mean, I filmed between 2003 and 2008. That's when I presented it.
So... Wow. Which, of course, was only 5 years ago, as we all know.
Oh my God. So did you grow up watching it with your mum then?
No, blimey, no. I'm 50. I turned 50.
Oh my God, you look insane for 50.
Thank you. I credit my parents for that, for the good genes that I've got. No, I turned 50 last September. So we're quite similar in age. I think you're just...
Yeah.
So I think that programs like that at the time, I was obviously younger, but I've always been really interested in, particularly as a woman, I feel like we have, I don't know, the hills are higher to climb anyway. And I feel like perhaps the kind of pressure on us to look and appear a certain way, age being one of those things, but kind of, you know, what you wear and all of that being another. And I wonder if maybe I liked the program so much because there was perhaps an insecurity about the way I looked or something like that. So what do you think the biggest thing is that people came to you for then? What was it really about, came to the program too? And now in your work, now you're older, wiser, and, you know, do things slightly differently. What's the kind of main thing that women come to you saying, ugh?
Well, at the end of the day, whether it's 20 years ago and 10 years younger, whether it's my new series, Drop a Decade, it's always all about confidence. Mm. It's not really about what your teeth look like or what your, you know, if you've got wrinkles on your eyes or, you know, it's really never about that. It's just about how these women feel, men and women, because, you know, I transform both. And I don't think that's changed. So there's something about women as they get into their 40s and 50s, with the onslaught of young kids or teenage kids or aging parents and, you know, working full-time or juggling a self-employed job or whatever it is. And time is limited and we focus on everyone else and forget ourselves. And through that, and then we wake up one day and go, oh my good golly gosh, look at me. I just feel average. No one notices me anymore. I've just lost my spark. I don't feel like I'm the person I was 20 or 30 years ago. How do I get that back? So I think the reason people come to me for transformation, whether it's one-on-one clients or whether it's, you know, extreme makeovers like we do on the shows, it's all about confidence. It's not really about the nitty-gritty.
Do you think that's societal pressure? Actually, that puts that confidence. Or do you think? Because I talk a lot with my clients about, you know, this inner kind of quiet inner confidence. And when you have that real confidence in yourself that you're doing the right thing in your business and you truly believe it and you're truly passionate about it, that radiates, right? Which is an innerness that comes out. How do you think that that ties with the society's perception of what we should look like?
I think that's almost like that's two different things. I think, is there a pressure? Do women feel pressurized to look good? Yes, I think there is that pressure. It doesn't have to be a negative, though. I think we talk about society or pressure as, you know, a big weight on our shoulders, a real load. look at it as inspiration. Look at role models around us who are healthy, looking fabulous, glowing, people like you doing amazing things. You can look at it as, oh my God, I feel so much pressure. Look at Libby. She looks great. She's doing all this stuff and it's just horrendous. I look at me, I'm nothing. Or you could go, oh my God, I love the fact that she's 50, that she's got glowing complexion, that she's, you know, owning her own business. She's got a podcast. It's fantastic. I want more of that. So I think it's how you spin that coin in terms of how you take it on board and how you deal with that. Then there was another bit to that question, because it was a long question that I've completely forgotten. So just remind me. So was the society thing, and then, oh, was it about?
It's the inner confidence. Does that radiating, yeah, you know, radiating, yeah, out? And that's what people like attracts you to someone. Yeah.
It's so important when you, particularly when you're self-employed, to have something, mm-hmm, you're completely passionate about. I think confidence, inner confidence, is very closely tied to outer confidence. I think if you really want to project inner confidence, you need to like what you see in the mirror. You need to believe in that person that you visually look at each and every day. And it doesn't matter how great your inner confidence is, but if you look in the mirror and just see a dumpling or someone who's got a frumpy outfit on, and you just, there's no connection between your inner confidence and your outer image, then there's a conflict. And I think it's really hard to project that inner confidence out to the world. If you can get the outer image matching the inner image, then you are going to project your passion and you're going to fly the flag for your business everywhere you go. So I think they are closely related. And absolutely, there will definitely be someone who doesn't care what they look like on the outside and is super confident on the inside. And not every business, sure, needs to have an image. So there will always be outliers, right? But generally speaking, I believe, and from my experience, it's really hard to believe in yourself and to project that real image of self-confidence when you don't like what you see in the mirror.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, actually. And it's funny, I was obviously I know who you are and I know what you do. And so when I was preparing for this, I was like, oh, she's going to look fabulous and she's going to have her lipstick on and she's going to be on all her bright colours. And I'm like looking at my wardrobe going, and I was like, stop. What are you doing? Because I wear jeans and t-shirts, right? That is kind of my uniform.
Your signature.
Yeah, jeans, t-shirts, trainers. And I'm kind of known for that. And I'm also quite vocal about the fact that that's okay in business. You know, I left the suited and booted world behind. I left the heels, behind. Can't even imagine wearing them. And I used to wear them every day, walk miles in them. And so I kind of had to almost have a word with myself about just show up as you, because that's exactly what I would tell anyone else to do. And, you know, you being the qualified and experienced and supportive and kind stylist and person that you are, wouldn't judge me for being me. And also, if you did, I shouldn't care about that if I'm happy and comfortable in myself. And that's, I thought that was really interesting. And it very much is what you've just said, actually, that the confidence has to be exterior, but also interior. And I think they do go together, but it's not to say looking good, as in what you wear or how your hair is or anything, fits a certain mold.
It doesn't, because it's so individual.
Yeah.
It's all about you as an individual, as the person. And do you like what you see in the mirror? Do you feel confident? But as we know, as we get older, body shape changes, hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
and you look in that mirror and you just, that person that you feel inside isn't looking back at you anymore. And that's where clothes and, you know, can be such a powerful armor, you know, tool that we can use as women to really help us get that inner confidence onto the outside. Because we all know, what is it like 7 seconds to make an impression, right? So you can be the most confident person internally, but if you're trying to sell something to someone and you're walking in that room, you're trying to make up an impression, you're trying to have presence, if you don't look at it on the outside, no one's going to glance in your direction. So it's a much harder up level for you to get in front of the right people. Whereas in a great outfit that makes you feel amazing, it opens doors. Yeah. Like it, right or wrong, it just does. People are drawn to people that look confident.
Yes.
And then it's about bringing that inner confidence out after that.
Yeah, no, I do definitely agree with that. And I think that if you feel confident in what you're wearing and comfortable in what you're wearing, you do immediately look more confident. And it sort of doesn't matter what that outfit is actually. No. It's got to be what suits you. It reminds something that my ex-husband said many, many years ago to me, and he didn't mean it in the way that he said it, but it's something that stuck with me. And he always said, you look better. You look better with clothes on. And I don't think it was meant in the way that he said it, because he's a nice chap, and he won't remember that he said it or anything. But I think what he meant was, when I have clothes on, I feel more comfortable and confident than if I'm walking about in a bikini or something on the beach, you know. And I do think I do think what you said about the clothes being kind of, I don't think you used the word armor, but kind of that,
it's a tool. It's powerful. It doesn't matter how perfect or imperfect it is underneath, because God forbid we've all got lumps and bumps in places we never had before, right? But you can completely disguise that with clothes. No one needs to see that bit. And it doesn't matter what size or shape. And that's what I love about clothes, is that you can project what you want other people to see about you. If you don't want them to focus on your weight or your curves or your this or your that, use clothes in a good, clever way to draw attention to the parts that you want people to notice.
Yeah,
it's powerful.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. What do you feel about the perception of aging? Because, we've both hit that life begins at, or was that 40? I don't know, anywhere, well, whatever 50 is. Do you think that in business there is... I don't know, it becomes harder. And I guess it's combined with the fact that perimenopause is often raging, and like you say, all the stuff with kids and parents and all these things.
Yeah.
Do you think it becomes harder for people? And if so, is that a psychological internal thing, or is it that it is harder because society is largely ageist?
I think it is hard. As you know, being a business is hard, actually, at any age.
Oh, for sure. Not going to argue with that.
Yeah. So in your 20s, it's as tough, I think, as it is in your 50s for different reasons. Is society ageist? Yes, I think that society definitely is. But I think a bigger part of that is that we are responsible for the way society sees us as we get older, because we have often let ourselves go. We have often stopped investing in ourselves. You know, it's not through right or wrong, and as I said, time and kids and demands, and just without realizing, you've stopped wearing the heels, you've stopped wearing the bright colors, you've stopped wearing the fitted clothes because you're not as, you're self-conscious of your shape. You develop almost a bit of a uniform. You become a bit anonymous, unnoticeable. So is it the fact that you are a specific age that's making you invisible, or is it the fact that you've actually done that subconsciously to yourself without even realizing it? So I think there's two parts to it. I think actually, yes, in our 50s, I think we have to work harder to be noticed, to have a voice. But it's also the most exciting time for women in their 50s, in business. There are so many more opportunities now. And women, the more they up-level themselves in terms of what they wear and project that confidence, I think there are more opportunities than ever for women in the midlife. But you have to rise up to it and not be put off by the fact that you are older and everyone's trying to put you in a certain box. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because most of my clients are, well, certainly 35 and older, but I work with quite a lot of people, 40s and 50s. I've got a couple of clients who are in their 60s. And actually, we don't really ever talk about what people wear. We talk about being comfortable in your own skin and, and that inner confidence.
Yeah.
But I there's definitely a feeling of, as you get older, you care less what people think. Are just like, we have shorter fuses, we have less tolerance and all of that. And I think that that's a really powerful thing. And I think the self-awareness that we get as we are older is also another powerful thing, because being consciously, I'm like casual Friday every day now, and I'm very, very happy with with that. So I'm not going to go back to, I do wear a lot of bright colours actually today. I'm not today. I've just coordinated with my sofa. But it's, you know, I really like wearing red and stuff like that. So, but it's interesting that what you say is, you said to people don't invest in themselves as much. And I think I would just change that wording to people don't prioritise themselves as much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's the shift that we can get lost. And certainly when you're running a business, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of pressure. You know, you've 2011, same year for me. So, you know, we've been doing this for 14 years. And it's very easy to get kind of overwhelmed and just with it all. So taking that time out to prioritize your physical and mental health and appearance is something that often gets put on the back burner. I think you're right. But I mean, I'm one of the lazy ones. I don't dye my hair. I use moisturizer and that's kind of it. I wear mascara and that's kind of it. But yeah, I realize I'm blessed with good genetics. Yeah, no, yeah. For sure.
But I think what's hard is when you are self-employed, it is very much a home. Often you're very much home-based, sure. You know, on Zoom calls, all of that.
Yeah.
And you're image can go downhill as a result of that. Well, I never need to dress up. I never need to wear heels.
And the pandemic too made a big difference.
The pandemic, yeah. And then you wake up and you go, actually, what do I wear when I've got to go and give a talk, right? Yeah. Or who am I now? And it's just that trying to almost develop a new style signature for the person that you are in the midlife or in your 50s, rather than trying to either hark back to something you were 20 years ago or just settle for the sort of in-between bit where you are now.
Yes, because it could be a very slippery slope to elasticated waists and Velcro shoes, couldn't it? Which I'm not sure either of us is advocating. But when the time comes for us, we'll embrace it, you know. So what do you think about the confidence of looks versus knowledge and experience? Do you think that they are viewed differently, or do you think we treat them differently? I guess that's kind of around confidence in putting yourself out there as a business person, because you could be incredibly skilled and experienced, but you might not be that confident in how you look. Do you think that one can override the other? Like, you can look fabulous and be not that great, but people, you've still got the confidence to kind of sell yourself, or you can be really super skilled and experienced and not be comfortable in the way that you look, but that doesn't matter? Or do you think they have to be relatively balanced?
I think balance is key. I think it all depends on your personality. If you have, I think at the end of the day, expertise and skill set is number one. I think the more you know, having real skills, particularly to influence a society today where everyone's claiming this and that, but actually if you are someone who's got real valid skills that you developed over an experience and knowledge, that is always going to be number one. But if you are someone who's not a salesperson, who's not great at putting yourself out there, then investing in your image aligns the two more easily, so that when you walk into a room, you look great, people will come to you, they will talk to you, and then they find out about your knowledge and experience as well. And they're like, oh my God, she's amazing. We should definitely hire her for the next whatever we're doing. So I think it's even more important if you are someone who has amazing knowledge and experience, don't assume that's enough. You still need to be noticed. You still need to have an opportunity to have that voice. Otherwise, no one's going to see you, notice you, or hear about you and get an opportunity to learn how amazing you are, right?
Yeah.
And if you are someone like me who's actually a little bit shy, then actually walking into a room of people and having to go, hey, I'm so wonderful. Do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy that? Is literally my idea of hell.
Same.
Then for me, just wearing a great outfit instantly turns heads and gets people coming over and talking to me, going, oh, I love your earrings. I love what you're wearing. And then that gives me a chance to say, by the way, I'm amazing at doing this, this, and this.
Yeah, so interesting.
It's a great tool to have. So don't think I'm so clever, I don't need to worry about that. That's beneath me. Actually, have it as a tool in your armor and up-level it when you need it, because the two together are the most powerful force.
Do you think that it's a sensible thing or a shortcut thing or a good strategy or whatever for women in business to have a signature look or a signature style, or chopping and changing doesn't matter? Because I mean, if you think of, like, you know, Steve Jobs or somebody, it's always the same outfit. Mark Zuckerberg, well, you know, used to be until he went a bit, ooh, always the same kind of look and the same kind of outfit. Do you think that that is something to be known for as well as the thing that you do? Or do you think chopping and changing to keep people guessing or to keep yourself interested? Which would you kind of go for? Or would you advise people to go for?
Well, I think it depends what your business is, right? If you are the face of your business and it's very much about you.
Let's assume, because a lot of the people listening to this will be solo business service providers. So they will be.
Right. So it's all about you. Yeah. Therefore, your image is really important. You are your business. You are your brand. And as all brands, you know, it's all about a consistent message and about keeping that, regularly putting it out there with those colors, you know. So you need to be your brand. So then I think it's so important to have a strong style signature. Mm. And be really consistent with how you wear it. Mine is always I have my glasses, I have my red lipstick, and I wear bright colors. That doesn't mean I'm stuck to one bright color.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I can't have my hair up and down. And some days I might not have the red lipstick on. But, you know, everyone recognizes me and knows me for that. And it's memorable and it's repeatable. That's not to say you can't rebrand every 5 years.
Of course.
Just saying, actually, I've changed direction. As we know, when you're a solo entrepreneur, your business, one side of your business takes off. They weren't expecting you go down that line, which might be very different to what you were doing before, in which case maybe you rebrand your look and the business along with your marketing materials.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think the more aligned you are with your brand physically, the more the whole business, you know, holds together.
100%.
And every time you're doing something, whether it's a talk or you're on YouTube or whatever, it just, again, you're communicating those brand values just in your appearance and the way you look and the way you dress and all of that. It's that unspoken signature that can be incredibly powerful. And as I say, it doesn't mean it has to stay like that forever. You can cut your hair, you can tweak things. But don't do it one day and then, you know, let's sort of don't change your
Who
hair
is she today? Yeah.
It just becomes very confusing. And if that's fine if you want to be an influencer. But if you're a solo entrepreneur and you've got a brand identity, stick with it.
That's really important. You know, I'm kind of like applauding you when you say, you know, you've got to embody your brand. It's so true. Your brand has to, if you are a solopreneur and you are the face of the business, but you've got to eat, sleep, feel it. And that absolutely should be reflected in the way that you dress and the way you turn up. So yeah, really, really key bit of information.
And also you said earlier in the chat, Libby, that, I know I was going to see Nikki today. So I thought, well, I better wear some bold colors. I can't remember if that was in the pre-chat or this chat. Yeah. But it's that expectancy, isn't it? Because you know my brand.
Yeah.
You know how I'm going to turn up. And it's that sort of consistency and that expectation and that reliability of what you're going to get. And that communicates your brand values and your product that you deliver for people as well.
Yeah, no, I agree, absolutely. And you could have thought, oh, it's Libby, she'll be wearing jeans. And will she have her slippers on? No, she's got bare feet today because it's quite warm. But I talk about wearing slippers a lot, you know.
I've got my heels on.
Oh, my God. No, bare feet. My slippers are under my desk. But, you know, so, I mean, I am also true to my brand because I do talk about wearing slippers a lot. So, no. So talking about you in your business, then, what are you most proud of as a business owner that you've achieved, either, you know, in 2011 or 2025?
Do you know what? The thing I'm most proud of is the fact that I'm still here. It has been a monumental amount of survival with, you know, my whole media business completely imploding in 2008 to rebuilding my business up and then have it completely implode again during COVID. And then completely rebranding and putting myself out there again and rebuilding all over again. So I think for me, the most thing I'm most proud of is the fact that I'm still going. I'm still here. I'm still showing up. And, you know, I think I've proved to myself that it doesn't matter how bad it gets, you're going to be okay. And I think with being a solo entrepreneur, it's a lonely place at times. You're waiting for that phone to ring. You're waiting for that email, that opportunity. And you have a lot of days where it's just like watching paint dry and nothing happens.
That's true. Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, who am I kidding? Like, get a bloody job, girl. Right. I've said that to myself a lot of times, but there's just something inside me that knows that this is my passion. This is my purpose. This is what I was meant to be. And however bad it is at that point, I just have to let that day go. And then I have to wake up the next day and I have to put my lipstick on and I need to put on a bright outfit and smile in that mirror and go, yes, we can do this. So, yeah, I think that, you know, all the highs and lows, not great peaks and troughs along the journey, but it's the survival, the fact that I'm still standing, that I'm most proud of.
I agree completely. And that's what I would say too. You know, I've still got a roof over my head. And it sounds a bit melodramatic, but when you're on your own, doing it all on your own, actually the day-to-day pressure is phenomenal. And particularly when things are tough, because I don't know a business person out there who's not had tough times. And anybody who says they haven't is either extremely lucky or lying, quite frankly. So, you know, we have these enormous highs and these crushing lows, but it's a real sign of determination, of force, you know, force from within, and something to be extremely proud of. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's really great. And so what now for you? You know, you've got your new series, you've just released a book.
Oh yeah.
Yay for the authors.
Here's my fabulous new book, Bolder Not Older, 12 weeks to go from dull to dazzling. But I would say it's not just any style book. If you are someone who's got to that point of you just don't know what your style is, you don't like what you're wearing, you hate everything in your wardrobe, you're just a little bit lost, then this book will help you redefine that and also be more bolder, just a little bit more daring. But it's also a lot focused on mindset, because weirdly, the way you dress is not just about what you've got in your wardrobe, but it's all the voices in your head, right? Yeah. It's such an emotional, mental mind game that we play with ourselves each and every day. And so it's helping you to reprogram that, which is why it's over 12 weeks, because as you know, Libby, real change takes time.
Yeah, it does not happen by the weekend. No.
It doesn't happen by the weekend. And if you really want to reinvent your style, just going shopping and getting a new outfit will make you feel better, but it doesn't result in long-lasting change. And if you are a business person and you want to really project the right image, then it's worth investing that time to really get it right. So that's Bolder Not Older, available to buy now. I've also just been made fashion director of Platinum Magazine. That's out this month. So do subscribe if you are in your 40s, 50s, and you want a ton of inspo, lots of fashion tips. And then I also do Drop a Decade on This Morning. Basically, I'm just trying to get back to where I was a million years ago, or in perhaps even a better place. So it's baby steps. And just, I think it's taken so much confidence. You know, when I was doing 10 Years Younger, obviously that was, you know, huge exposure. And then to lose it all overnight completely wiped the floor off my confidence.
I mean, it must have just been absolutely horrendous. You know, it just, and it's so public as well. I think that's the thing. You know, we can all lose contracts overnight and clients and all of that, but nobody knows unless we tell them. But to have that happen so publicly, I think is, it's devastating. So
I just went into a hole for a long time, and it's taken so much to pull myself out of that hole and actually put myself out there in the media again and let them say what they're going to say and go, it's okay, I've got this, right? And I'm slowly coming through all of that, and I'm hoping that, I can just, basically my dream is to have my own series again. That would be my absolute pinnacle for me. Yeah. It may happen, it may not, but that's, I think you've got to have that big dream, haven't you? Because that's what gets you out of bed every single day, that reason to keep, not give up on yourself and keep putting yourself out there. So those are all my big things that I've been working on.
It's funny when you were saying that, because I don't know if you can see, but one part of the tattoo on my arm, it's going to be upside down, but that bit there, it says be bold.
So
I had that just come out for 18 months ago. So when you say bolder, not older, I'm like, yes, that was a note. That was a note to self there on my arm. So I very much subscribe to that without kind of even realizing it. But yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that completely. And also think that a series, your own series again, would be fabulous. It would be great. One thing I thinking about, since I knew you were coming on, we were going to have this chat, I was like, do you know what? I'd really like to have a segment on a TV show where I get to talk about solo business owners and women in business. So there you go. I'm just putting that out there as well. So
you'll be talking a year's time, you go, you know what, Nikki? Yeah, that happened
when we were in the TV studio together. And go, do you remember that chat we had?
Put it out there. You never know. You don't know.
No, you never know. That would be so cool. So, well, thank you ever so much for coming on today. And remind everybody, your book, Bolder, Not Older, and it's in all good bookshops and online.
Yep. Bolder, Not Older, Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones, you can get it everywhere. Do the program. It'll be the best investment you could make in yourself and your business.
Amazing. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, Nikki. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And watch this space for what the future holds, eh? For us 50-year-olds.
Woo! Bring it on. Thank you for having me. Really, really nice to speak to you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Unstuck. Make sure you follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love it if you left a review. It really helps more solo business owners find the podcast and remind them they're not alone. Want to chat about this episode or suggest a future topic? You'll find me on Instagram at Libby Langley. See you next week.